This is from the January 8th, 2018 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. We begin with the Old Testament scripture reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, read by Lorna Bradley.
Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and now things I know, I now declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
We end with the gospel lesson from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, read by our pastor, the Reverend David Hutchinson, followed by today's sermon.
The very first chapter of the gospel of Mark on this very first Sunday of a new calendar year, but already, as Bill has pointed out, 4 weeks into the church year as Christmas comes to an end. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming down and coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. In the novel Beloved, two people meet a woman along a roadside. Anybody read the novel Beloved by Toni Morrison? One or two? Another thing for your list. So in the novel Beloved, two people meet a woman along a roadside. And the two go by the names of Seth and Paul D. They ask her name, and the scene goes like this. "You from round here?" Seth asked. And after giving her water to drink, cup after cup of water, they began to talk. The woman is thirsty and thin. She shook her head no and reached down to take off her shoes, and Seth bent down to pick them up. "What might your name be?" asked Paul D. Beloved, she said. Her voice was so low and rough, they looked at each other. Beloved. They heard the voice first, and then they heard the name. You used the last name, Beloved? He asked. Last? She seemed puzzled. And then, no. And she spelled it for him slowly. And he recognized as she spelled it the careful enunciation of letters by those who, like himself, could not read, but had memorized the letters of their name. And he was about to ask who her people were, but thought better of it. A young black woman in the South drifting was drifting from ruin. And so that's how it is that the main character of the novel, Beloved, reveals her name as we get a glimpse into life in the American South years ago. Turns out that the name is taken from a headstone in a graveyard, in which the engraver had not had time to write out the whole name, and the preacher had said, dearly beloved. So as to her people, well, the answer comes from the author at the very beginning of the inscription, at the beginning of the book, this book by Toni Morrison. There's a Bible verse, Romans 9:25, right at the beginning. I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. So this beloved drifter is given a name which, for many, many like her, was or seemed to be unfulfilled. They were not beloved. They did not feel beloved. Beloved, that's what God calls Jesus, the very beginning. This morning gospel reading, just as Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, God calls Jesus beloved. He rises up out of the water, and we hear it. Just then, at that moment, according to Mark and Matthew and Luke, they all report the same thing. At that moment, as the dove descends, we hear, my beloved son. And so when we baptize now, in the present day, the pastor will often ask for the name, the child's name. And it happens at a similar moment. It's the moment of the water. What is the Christian name of this child? And so the child becomes a sign to the world that God loves us. We are beloved. We are raised up by God. We are beloved of God. And that's something to remember when we come to the font today, even for you and for me. But it's something we forget all the time, and I do too, week in and week out. Sometimes we even reject it a little bit, our belovedness. That we are beloved. God's love for us, right? We're born anew out of that in baptism by the Spirit, named, created. And it happens, and God is pleased with it. Well, a similar thing happens in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. The servant describes it, and Lorna just read it for us. The servant is described as one who is essentially beloved. Behold, my servant, my chosen, the one in whom my soul delights, takes delight in. Which is a little bit like saying my beloved, right? So this idea that there is a way that God reaches out to us is so ancient. It goes way back into the Old Testament and is fulfilled in some way in this baptism scene, but is deeper and more profoundly a part of God and who God is than even that. Isaiah goes on, thus says God, who created the heavens, God who spread out the earth, God who goes and gives breath to all people and spirit to those who walk on the earth. This God is a God of covenant and of promise. And in 43, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. You're a new thing. Created and called by God, chosen, beloved. So both in the case of Jesus in this baptism scene and the servant described in Isaiah in the Old Testament, they were expected to bring salvation to the world. The beloved ones bring light, according to the Bible. They call people to repentance. And somehow, in their belovedness, we and the whole world are beloved by God. We're called to repentance not out of condemnation, but out of belovedness. God has longed for us since the beginning, loved us since the creation of the world. And in Genesis even, God looks out over the whole thing and says, it's good. I love this. But, you know, since then, we've had quarrels with God along the way, right? We wonder why justice isn't done now or it seems like ever. Whether in the world or in our own communities, we picture the world the way we want it to be. We think about our lives how we wish they were, and somehow they aren't. And in all of that, somehow I think we misunderstand God's purpose. Kind of like John, who misunderstood when Jesus came to be baptized. Some of the other Gospels report that he resisted, right? He would have prevented Jesus, but Jesus said, no, let it be so. And so John finally relents. He consents. But I wonder if we don't often resist like John did a little. Do we so easily consent to God and living into our baptism? It could be a lifelong, well, it is a lifelong journey for each one of us. Ups and downs all along the way. Baptism's not a moment, it's a lifestyle. Living into our baptism. Eventually our insides and our outsides kind of match a little more the name we've been given, beloved. The package and the contents get a little bit more congruent, right? That's what baptism's about. Now, I was thinking about all this, and there was just the simplest little experience, and sort of my job as a preacher is take the mundane and make it profound, right? So I had this simple little experience, and I thought, oh, that's a perfect example of the thing. I was at Plaid Pantry, and I bought some snacks. And on the bag of snacks, it said Western Trail Mix. So I was eating the Western Trail Mix and reading the package. You know, don't read the package when you're eating. Anyway. It said on the back, to capture the taste of the Far East. Wait, what? What? West, but it was Western Trail Mix. But so the label on the package, on the outside, it on the back, it went on to describe the contents on the inside of this package. It said to capture the taste of the Far East. But then I turned the package and it said Western Trail Mix. So which is it? Is it Eastern or is it Western? In big letters, it said Western. So I wondered, had I been hoodwinked, sold something under false pretenses? The name on the front did not match the contents according to the package. Anyway, that all got to me thinking back about this whole beloved thing again and my contents and my packaging and the name on my forehead, right? The name God gives all of us is beloved. That's the Western Trail Mix name on your package. According to God, that's what should be printed on your forehead. We are beloved in baptism, right? But what does that mean then? For you and me and for our insides and what's in the package, in our hearts and souls. And are we intended to live up to it or just receive it as a gift? Or somehow is it both? That we receive it as a gift and live up to it as a response. And do we resist like John did? Do we resist our baptismal identity from time to time or a lot of the time, for that matter? Do we resist believing that our insides and all of us truly are beloved of God and that that could change our lives and our behavior and our relationships and the world? And did even Jesus resist his baptismal identity? Did Jesus remember that God called him beloved the whole rest of his life? Even when he was being ridiculed? And when he turned over tables that day in the temple, did Jesus forget his identity as beloved in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Or on the cross? And yet beloved is who he is. God's beloved. It's who we are. It's our identity in community and in faith, and it begins here. And so in the end, maybe we can no more resist than Jesus could. Now, if you're not baptized, or not a Christian, or if you know someone who is, then I hope don't take this the wrong way, right? I hope what you take from what I'm saying is a word of hope for the whole world, for everyone. This is about hope. This is not about exclusion. Baptism is about hope. It's not about exclusion. I'm talking from my perspective as a Christian who is baptized within this community, pondering what it means that personal identity is somehow connected to community life. And our community, at least in part, is based on this commitment to one another about certain basics. For us Christians, who we are is we are baptized, we are followers of Jesus, we are beloved, and we hope to share that gift with the whole world somehow, to share what we understand as God's hope, that we would all respond to that love, right? I mean, why was Jesus baptized anyway? You've probably thought about that a little bit, maybe once or twice before in a Bible study and then forgot what you concluded. Why would Jesus get baptized? I mean, why would a sinless man be baptized for repentance, washed from sin, right? Which is one of the things baptism's supposedly about. Because it is about more than repentance. Repentance is the baptism of John, and it's part of our baptism. But Jesus' baptism by the Holy Spirit, accompanied by the dove, like in Noah, the dove, the water, the deliverance from the flood, this is a story about the deliverance of the world from all that would destroy it, from the floodwaters of evil and sin. Jesus' baptism is a sign to the world of hope, and ours is too. I mean, yes, our baptism has a personal dimension. We are named. We enter into the church of Jesus Christ through it. We claim grace and forgiveness and repent of sin and are washed and renewed. And it's also more than personal. Our baptism, like Jesus' baptism, is a sign to the world that we are all beloved. We are God's beloved, whether we like it or feel like it or resist it or not. So let us remember that and renew that today and then begin again to live into that. Amen.